Using pre-planned lines on dating apps to start conversation does not work generally for women because we have a sixth sense. We have like a sniff test. We can tell that those lines are maybe lines that you got from a YouTube pickup artist dude, or you even maybe came up with it on your own, but now you've used it for every single girl over and over and over. It's like that saying, give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day, or teach a man how to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime. Give a man a pre-written line and he'll date for a day. Teach him how to banter and he'll date for a lifetime. Or maybe not a lifetime, because you'll find the one right away and then you'll stop dating and you'll just be married. But you know what I mean. I am Kristen from KristenandChill.com, and I am the banter queen. I teach guys how to charm more than just the socks off of women. And if you're struggling in conversation, if you're getting ghosted, if you're never hearing back, if you're never, ever getting the results that you deserve, hit me up at KristenandChill.com.
Want to know the hidden meaning behind what women say and do? Then check out The Chictionary. It's the Wing Girl Method's manual that gives you a full rundown of all the things women say that confuse men, written in dictionary format. Go get a copy of The Chictionary by going to winggirlmethod.com/chick. That's winggirlmethod.com/chick.
Welcome to the Ask Women podcast, where you get real advice straight from the source, boobs.
Yeah, I know. I missed that intro. Yeah. I really do. We'll re-record it.
Yeah. I'm Kristen Carney, comedian, etc. Here, of course, with Marnie Kinnaris. She is a best-selling author of Get Inside Her. Check out her website, winggirlmethod.com. And our guest today is Sex with Emily, Dr. Emily Morse.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us.
I like saying doctor. I know.
For you. I think it's cool.
Only doctor.
Only doctor.
You know, it's funny. Yesterday, I had a doctor's appointment. And my mom's in town. And so she came with me. And she kept referring to the doctor as doctor. And I felt like I was in 1920 or something. She was like, doctor, actually, you know, I was like, mom.
I don't know what to call my doctor sometimes. So I'm just, I would usually call.
You see, like, Dr. Jones.
Well, I would just not really address that.
Yeah.
If I had a question, I wouldn't, because he knows she's talking to him because he's the only one in the room besides me. And obviously she's not asking me questions. I'm an idiot. So it's not like she has to specify who she's talking to. So she'd be like, instead of saying just like, you know, well, she's been getting really sick. Blah, blah, blah. She'd be like, doctor, she's getting really sick.
She wants to be respectful and be very clear on who she's talking to, even though, like, maybe you would start answering.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe she just thinks you are that dumb.
Dr. Bankman.
Yeah. Very smart. Maybe she thinks you have a lot going for you.
I do. But
she doesn't see you.
That's another topic.
To know the truth.
I've been sleeping with a doctor.
You have?
Oh, let's talk about this. Do you call him doctor?
No, but I should. It's kind of hot.
Does he call you doctor? Is it like a back and forth?
Yeah, it's funny. He's like a doctor. He's like real, like an awesome.
You're like a doctor too.
No, but I'm like.
You're a doctress.
He's like saving lives.
I like that term.
Yes, you are. You're saving lives in a more important way.
He's like in the emergency room.
But you're a doctress. I like that term I just came up with.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because it's kind of sexy because you're a sex with Emily.
Doctress and like seductress.
Yes. Pay me for that. Pay me for that.
Your new branding.
It's all recorded.
So I want to make a quick announcement. Uh-oh. Right now, we are recording a special video for the people who listen to this podcast. And probably when this goes out live, it will not be ready yet, but hopefully it will be ready
probably
soon.
Not.
And we'll promote it a lot more. But it's like a behind the scenes look at our podcast, because even like same with you, most people don't see you. They hear you a lot.
Right.
But now they're going to get to see us, see what the podcast is about, how glamorous and amazing it actually is not.
Yeah.
So it'll be kind of interesting for people to see, but that's what we're doing right now. That's why there's all these cameras.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So it'll be cool. And then also you and Emily and I are actually doing a program together, and this will be a special bonus that will be
where
part
can
of
they
that.
Get it?
It's not out yet. The
so
program is not out yet that we have made together. But
where can they get it?
They will be able to get it.
Pornhub. Just kidding.
It's me and Emily in the bedroom. Very excited for that. And you
Porn
have one
job.
More announcement as well, that people should listen to the Adam Carolla show this Sunday.
Yeah, so I'll be filling in for Gina Grad on the news on Adam Carolla show this Monday.
Mm.
Yeah.
She's the fill-in girl.
A lot more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. High five.
So everybody on this show has to listen on Sunday
and tweet and just say how much you like me.
Yeah.
Speaking of Carollas, Lynette Carolla and I are doing a live show on May 12th in Hollywood
for
her podcast,
for Crying Out Loud.
And it's May 12th at Tinhorn Flats at 8:00 p.m.
So cool.
That's awesome.
Really cool.
You are like, I don't even want to go into this because we could talk for hours, but you are like nonstop.
Can I say one more?
Yes. Announce everything.
Because I am teaching a hustler work. It's Masturbation Month, May.
Yeah.
Big month around.
Yeah.
People,
big month.
Know, as if people aren't masturbating enough, we need a month for
a workshop at Hustler Hollywood.
Oh, I love
masturbation,
that.
Walking people through sex toys and tips and tricks and how to make your sex life even better. It's for men and women. And that is May.
And do a lot of creepy people show up, or are there normal people?
I got to tell you, last time it was like 200 people and they were like...
Normal?
Normal, whatever. Yeah. It's May 15th, Friday night. We're going to have drinks, 7 to 9. Hustler
Maybe
Hollywood.
I'll come.
Oh, dude, please
maybe
come.
Maybe I'll come. Do you see what I can
say? Yeah, I love it.
No, but maybe I will join you.
Feedback at Sex with Emily if you want to come.
Come.
Do you specify that people can't masturbate there? Do you specify that?
I'm like, you go in the bathroom.
Because you say it's a masturbation party.
Right. It is a masturbation. No, you never know what's going to happen after 10 o'clock.
So. Exactly. That's true. Yeah. But that brings us on to the topic that I want to talk about today, which is orgasms.
Well, before we get to that, we have to talk about Bruce Jenner.
Yes.
Being the... transgender. Yes. I watched the interview twice, actually, and it's 2 hours. And don't ask me why, but I saw his son Brody yesterday.
Oh, really?
Funny. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we were on Brody's show. Yeah. Interesting. Well, I did want to get into it like a broader conversation on the transgender topic, but I think let's table that for next time because I think that I'd like to focus more on having orgasms because that's what Emily.
Okay.
Is
well, then
on,
I'm just going to reuse a joke then about the Bruce Jenner thing that I posted on Twitter, but I'll just pretend I'm coming up with it right now.
Okay.
He also came out on the show as a Republican, which I thought was a lot braver.
Yeah, me too.
I really did. It's braver to be a Republican than a transgender in 2015.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
I thought that was interesting. Yeah. Okay, but let's get to you. I want to talk about orgasms because we've talked about it with you before. We've talked about the clitoris, lots of things on a woman's body.
Yes.
But I want to talk about whether or not it is true that all women are capable of having an orgasm.
An orgasm just in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, now, sir, there are women, I like to say, instead of anorgasmic, people say women who can't, I just like to say that women are pre-orgasmic, that they haven't had an orgasm yet. Mm-hmm. There's very, very small percentage of women who actually cannot, like for some reason, like they're, you know, the way their body's
nerve endings,
but it's very, very rare. The problem is a lot of women assume...
That makes men feel really bad right now. They thought it wasn't very rare.
Right.
And he's like, oh, it's just...
They can't
women
do it.
Women can't do it, and it's not me.
But we're not talking about orgasm during intercourse, because that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Only 30% of women can have an orgasm during intercourse.
Yeah.
And of those women, it's not even every single time.
Okay.
So I think what happens with women is that they just write it off. They think, you know what? I can't have one, and I'm not even going to try. I'm not going to focus on it. Or they say, I can only have a clitoral orgasm, not a G-spot. Or I can only have the G-spot. I can only have in this position, that. And that's what Masturbation Month, for example, is all about.
Right.
Because what happens is... we have our first orgasm or second, and we tend to just be like, duh, that's how we do it. I know I got to do this and that. However, our body has such expansive capacity for pleasure, and that the more time that you spend really focusing on your body, you'll realize, like, if you, like, half hour a night or whatever, you know, once a week, you start touching yourself in different places, you're like, wow, I could actually have an orgasm.
Yeah, there's something
some
that
toys.
Feels good there.
Oh, I've never had a G-spot orgasm. You got to train yourself. Like, there's women who are like, I can't buy a sex toy. Like, buy one that's target your G-spot, spend some few nights with that puppy, and you'll be surprised. Just because a man, you weren't able to do it with your partner, then you learn your body, and then you can say, oh, okay, I know exactly how I moved with that toy. I'm going to transfer it over to this penis. People are so limited in their way of thinking.
It works on this. Now let's try it with a cock.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, that's the story. And the thing is, like, I want to tell women, like, don't give up. Like, I had a friend in college. She actually never had an orgasm. And she's like, she's going to wait to some internship for 30 days. She's like, I'm going to spend 30 days every single night, and I'm just going to have an orgasm. I'm going to masturbate every night. And she did, like, every single night.
Clearly putting a lot of energy into her internship.
Exactly. Exactly. It was in the night. And it wasn't like the first week, second week, third week, but like finally third week in, she had an orgasm. And till this day, she's still my best friend. She has like multiple orgasms every time she has sex.
Really?
Literally. She's like... And if she doesn't, she's like pissed. Like, she's married. She's like, I only had like one and it sucked. I'm like, but you usually had three or four. And what I'm saying is, how
selfish.
Do you say that they've
she's
done
very
that?
Selfish.
Like,
not
really,
a lot of people.
Not a lot of people.
Okay, so you're saying that she did not give up in those first 3 weeks and felt absolutely nothing in those
like,
first 3 weeks?
Nope, no orgasm. I mean, she felt like she was learning her body.
So she was trying different things every single time.
Who sat there and looked at, no one wants to look at their vagina, but like, why not? I wish this weird gynecologist lately, not
I put makeup on mine.
You
eyeliner.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. False eyelashes, something.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's, you know, whatever makes you feel good about it. Yeah, I could go on. So now,
where did the gynecologist?
I went to a gynecologist, and he was like, hey, a new gyno. And he's like, so, I have a question for you. He's like, my legs are up in stirrups. He's like, so, do you want to look? And I was like,
really?
Does he know what you do already?
No. Oh, no. I didn't tell him.
Really?
And I was like, yes. Yes, I do. And like, and he's like, okay, wow, labia, like pointing it out to me. Like,
oh my God, that's actually a really good idea.
Me too. And he's like, you know what's so funny? He said, most women say no. Most of my clients, patients don't
ignorant
want
to. Ignorant.
Well, you know what? I would say that would ignorance be out of embarrassment because he's a man. And if some man said to me, do you want to look? I would be like, what are you getting out of this?
Yeah.
Like, I would think that was kind of weird. I would want to look.
I would be like, are you hitting on me?
Yeah. Exactly. No, like, are we doing this together?
I need better lighting. First of all, can we talk about the gynecologist? It's lighting like this, which is very fluorescent.
Right. Let me go shave. I'll be right back.
I need some mood lighting, a little music.
I want to ask a question about what do the guys who are listening to the show, because I know the girls listening to the show can use that information that you just gave. It's absolute gold. And I wish every woman who is listening to the show will go and, you know, dedicate a month of their life to masturbating. But what can men do with this information that you just provided? Men who are not in relationships, who are in the dating stages, like, and they're potentially going to be sleeping with women. How can they use this information to benefit themselves?
They can, first of all, foreplay. Foreplay is a suggestion. I mean, it's not a suggestion. Actually, it's a requirement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you need to, when you're with a woman, pay attention. Pay attention to, first of all, slow everything down. I've said this, go 5 times slower than you do. Guys are so excited. They're having sex. They're like ripping your clothes
off. I just started talking slower and then my voice got deeper. You were like, go slower. I was like, it'll be sexier. And then I sounded like a man. Yeah. My jokes are awkward today.
No, they're awesome. You're always awesome and beautiful and smart. Thanks. So I think that you got to pay attention to the person you're with. And you can tell when a woman's getting turned on. You know, she's like, her breath starts quickening. She starts to moan. Her pelvis starts. I mean, you want her to be like so ready and begging for it. But as far as understanding her own body, guys get so bummed. Like, you know, they'll email me and say, God, she can't have an orgasm. What am I doing wrong? Honestly, women need to take responsibility for their own orgasms, and how guys can help them do that is to save them. So, you know, what can I do? Like, show me what feels good to you. Or mutual masturbation is a great thing. Why don't you both just get together? You both masturbate. It's sexy, hot, watch each other. And then he sees exactly how she touches herself, what makes her feel good. And then maybe she can take his hand and guide it, or who knows what could happen.
Yeah, and that can be super sexy.
Another thing is that guys shouldn't be bummed out that these women, a lot of them just can't orgasm during intercourse without a little help. And by that, I mean, clitoral stimulation is key for women. So the reason why a lot of women aren't having orgasms during intercourse is because it's not, so they could use their hands. Use lube first. Lube. Mm-hmm. I'm like, lube on every nightstand. That's like my huge, like, I think that lube is so
underrated. And you make an amazing lube as well.
I love my lube. EmilyandTony.com. Mm-hmm. And so add some lube, your fingers, a sex toy. Like, I think we've gone way beyond the point of guys. I used to have, at the beginning of my show 10 years ago, be like, okay, guys, don't worry. She's not going to leave you for her vibrator. I mean, it doesn't cuddle. You know, like, I had to like explain to guys.
Right.
Like, but now
it does. Believe me, I've tried.
I have too, really. It doesn't. But there are this one, the teddy bear vibrator now.
Are you kidding?
Well, yeah, but I didn't get it because I was afraid I actually would never need a man again. But but it really, you know, there's these little clitoral vibrators. It doesn't even look like penises, but you can hold it over her. I mean, there's just things that you could do to help her orgasm. Now, also, besides intercourse, oral sex. A lot of women can only orgasm that way. So you get down there and you move slowly with your tongue and from left, you know, you ask questions and you just,
I mean, so it sounds like overall you're saying don't be afraid to get involved.
Get involved. Be part of it. And don't assume it's going to magically happen. And then don't beat yourself up when it doesn't.
Right. Yeah. And don't become insecure.
Right. And ask questions. Yeah. Not in the moment. Like, we want to be like, honey, what left? Right. But you can just kind of be like, does that feel good? You know, but afterwards, maybe the next day or at breakfast, you'd be like, so last night, you know, here's the thing. I always say communication is lubrication. But what I realize is that people are like, yeah, great, I'll talk about it, but I don't know how to talk about it. Like, we are not trained to talk about sex. In fact, most people avoid it like the plague.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable.
Because at the beginning of a relationship, there's nothing to talk about because sex is amazing the first 6 to 12 months. Like, not to talk about it. Like, we're having sex 16 times a day. It's amazing. Sex changes. I don't know. You know, when you get together with someone, all you do is have sex. Like, I remember being someone like, we had sex 8 times today, you know, at the beginning of a relationship. And then
it changes.
And it's like 8 times a year. But so you don't know how to do it. So here's the thing. From the very beginning, sex should be fun, right? Like, I just think that we make the ways that we talk about sex now is always like, it's a problem, or like, what can I do to like spice it up? Or like, she's not doing this, he's not doing that. And if you learn to say, God, last night, honey, I noticed that when I was kissing you, it seemed like, you know, down there, I was performing oral sex, like you were breathing. It looked like you were getting close. And then you stopped me. And I feel like, you know, I'm not sure. Was it close? You make it just kind of like a fun, you know, was that, you know.
Inquisitive conversation.
Right, or, God, that was so hot when you orgasmed last night. And was it because you were on top? I mean, I loved looking at you. And like, what else could we do? I mean, just, it's fun. Like do a, what's it called? Like a play-by-play or whatever after, but like in a fun way,
like a sports desk?
Sports desk.
Right.
Last night you went down to me.
Like what's his name? Not Kareem. What
I
is his name?
I gave you a blowjob. You came in my mouth. I went to the bathroom. I came back.
His touchdown dance was creepy. Like,
no, but you're, but what you're saying is make everything lighter so that it's fun instead of like this heavy conversation.
Right.
Okay. I noticed last night that you didn't come. Like what's going on?
Right. And is it me? And then the thing is that, yeah, it's heavy. And then a lot of times we don't talk about it. And then we blame ourselves.
Yeah, it just becomes mind games. And then you pull back sexually, which is why it gets down to 8 times a year because all these insecurities build up and it's just horrible for both people.
Exactly. So if the sooner you start talking about it and addressing it, because most of the things that we're worried about, like guys are like, oh, did she notice that I didn't last long enough or I got a little soft or I came too quick and she's never going to want to sleep with me, but making emails all the time. Like,
yeah.
Does it mean it's over? It's like, women, we're pretty lenient. Like first few times, something happens, it's like, we're okay. We're not judging as much as you are. So, you know,
most of the time we're actually internalizing it as if it's our fault.
He wasn't like, turned on by me.
Yeah.
And the guy's thinking she's never going to sleep with me. So that's why I'm saying people got to talk.
What do you think about pheromones? Because we have a guest coming on to our show who's going to be calling in and he sells pheromones and he really believes in it. I actually have seen the scientific proof given to me by him that it actually does work and exists. Well, what do you think about pheromones?
I think pheromones are interesting. I think that, you know, there are a lot of pheromone products on the market right now. And I think, and I've heard great things too from people.
Love post number 9.
People who work for the companies specifically, but they do have great stories. Like I just came back from a sex show this weekend. And I know.
No, her life is amazing.
I had no sex. By the way,
what is a sex show?
Sexual health expo. No, it was called the Sexual Health Expo in Scottsdale.
Oh, it was an expo.
Yeah, it wasn't really. But everything's a sex show.
Yeah,
but I was talking about. What did you say? Oh, pheromones. There was booths there with toys and stuff like that, and they smelled amazing. And she was telling me it's called Eye of Love. Actually, these products, they're really cool. And she's like, you know, this woman I gave it to, she's in a wheelchair and she had no confidence and she wasn't feeling good about herself. And I gave her a bottle of this and she came back and she was like, I swear to God, I feel so much more confident and people are approaching me. And it wasn't
What's
even about
sex. What's the difference between that and perfume though?
Well, see, the thing is that I love the perfume. I wear like this Jo Malone that I love. And I feel like really calm. People are like, God, you smell amazing. Like I never change it. And so I feel good about that. It's not like guys are like, there's more like, I was going to say like dicks in my back. That's like when you wake up in the morning and it's like a dick in your back. Right. There's not like there's more like guys. I don't know. So
dick in my back perfume.
Proof, right.
There may, by Emily Morse.
Maybe there's some, you know what? It's inconclusive because it could work for some people and not work for others.
Right.
I have no opinion. Honestly.
Okay. Well, I want to hear what he has to say.
Confidence and it makes you feel good about yourself. And if you wear it and all of a sudden guys haven't asked you out in a month and then now there's a million or
keep wearing it.
Or it's for men too.
Yeah.
Dude, I just go for it.
I just pulled up pheromones and I think we all have a general idea of what they are, but it says pheromones are chemicals that are secreted in our sweat and other bodily fluids that are believed to influence the behavior of the opposite sex, such as triggering sexual interest and excitement. Anytime the word secreted comes into anything, I'm not turned on. That's such a creepy word.
Well, that says it's just, yeah, it's just
secreted.
A mimic.
It's like
natural.
So human-y or something.
I know, secrete.
Ugh, gross. No,
but I've even read things where it says, like, if you don't like the smell of another person, it means that you're actually biologically not supposed to be with them.
That is true. So scent is a huge indicator of someone. If you're like, I don't feel it, you wouldn't want to be with them. And that is true. So to say that you could mimic our natural secretions
in a
formula.
Like,
and also when I went to this table, this thing, she had 15 different kinds. So yes, maybe pheromones work, but which one of your pheromones?
Did you smell them? Do they smell like perfumes or do they smell like bodily oils and like poop?
God, I had one in my car.
But it smells nice, you said.
Yeah, they smell really nice. They do. So you know what? I'll try it and I'll get back to you on it.
Okay. Well, we are going to get Dr. Hammond. If you listen to the Ask Women podcast, then you are already miles and miles and miles ahead of other men when it comes to attracting and getting the girls you want. But I must confess, there's one missing piece in the puzzle, and that's flirting, or the ability to ignite sexual chemistry with any girl you meet in a matter of minutes.
Most guys suck at flirting. They can't flirt their way out of a paper bag. But as your personal wing girl, I can't let you be one of those guys. That's why I want to show you the most effective step-by-step formulaic approach to flirting with any girl you like. This formulaic approach has been tested on thousands of girls and has been proven to work like magic. Yes, magic. You just apply the formula and see results instantly, and it's that powerful. To find out everything about this flirting formula, all you have to do is go to winggirlmethod.com/flirty. I've made a special video for you where I reveal what this formula is all about. Go to winggirlmethod/flirty and you'll find out all about it.
So Drew, we have Drew on the phone. Thank you so much for being on the show. We brought you on today because you are an expert with pheromones. And we actually have Dr. Emily Morse in studio, who is the amazing Sex with Emily. And we were talking a little bit about pheromones before you got on air, but you are the expert. So we want to hear about pheromones and how guys can use the knowledge of pheromones and scented pheromones to add to their success with women.
Sure. Yeah. No, thanks for having me, Marnie.
Of course.
So the question was, how can guys use pheromones to, I guess, attract women? Is that right?
Yes.
So sorry about
it's
that.
It's okay. My mom calls me all the time too.
Yeah. No, this is adding to all the fun stuff of radio. Definitely how guys can use it. But actually, I want you to talk a little bit more about the scientific proof behind pheromones, so we get a better understanding of what they are and why they actually work.
Well, I mean, let's see. So back in 1986 at the Chemical Synthesis Center in Philadelphia, they discovered that humans respond to pheromones. They've known about pheromones since the 1800s because it's something that that they've used in the breeding of animals and controlling of crops and things like that for quite some time. But they had not discovered them in humans until this event in 1986. And since then, there's been a lot of interest in studies, double-blind university studies that have gone in and tested all kinds of aspects with regard to people's ability to produce and respond to pheromones. So for example, there are, well, let me back up just one second. Big overview here. There are pheromones to attract men and there are pheromones to attract women.
Okay.
But all aspects of this have been studied. For example, pheromones to attract women, which seems to be, get a lot of attention. These pheromones are akin to testosterone, and they're very similar to the testosterone molecule. And they're kind of like molecular derivatives of testosterone.
Okay.
And we have an organ just inside our nasal passages called the VNO, the pheromonasal organ. And there's a nerve that goes from this little pit of nerves inside our noses that goes directly to the limbic region of our brains. Okay. And what happens is that, you know, when small trace amounts of pheromones are detected, little receptor sites in the VNO inside our noses, it sets off an impulse through a nerve pathway to the limbic region of our brains, kind of setting off a cascade of events that that happens sort of subconsciously. And what happens is our endocrine system kicks in with mood and libido elevating hormones that start circulating through our bloodstream. And every species of animals, I mean, like almost every species, uses pheromones. So they're a way of attracting the opposite sex. Anytime that, you had a cat or a dog go into heat, you've seen.
Drew, what I hear you saying, because like Emily kind of said it before, because she was at this expo over the weekend, and she put, you
yeah,
put it on?
There's a lot of products that, you know, there's a lot of like manufactured products that sell, you know, products with hormones in them. And they're like, you could buy this, you could buy,
yeah. You know. But you said it boosted your confidence.
Yeah, well, people were saying that you wear it and then it boosts your confidence. And who knows what came first? I do believe in, right. So do you believe in the manufactured products with hormones in it? Or are we, is it
oh, no,
about-
he actually sells them as well.
Oh,
but what
do?
I'm
Got
hearing
it.
Drew say is that it simulates testosterone on a certain level, which actually can provide confidence
right.
to the person wearing it, and then can also do something for the person smelling it. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Well, for example, when a man sweats, the pheromones come out through the sweat glands.
Okay.
And they're concentrated around the areas of the nipples, underarms, and groin. This is where they're finding the most of the most pheromones. They are these.
It's crazy.
These,
they can detect them. Underneath like the fish smell and the BO smell.
Right.
You know, yeah, well, I mean, yeah. So yeah, kind of like it's more or less BO, I guess.
Right.
It's not though. I mean, honestly, pheromones come out through the sweat glands. Actually, what happens is that when they come out through the sweat glands and they come out onto the skin, the bacteria that causes the BO actually transforms one of those pheromones into two other pheromones.
Okay.
Oh. So a little
and
BO
so,
can go a long
way. It metabolizes. The bacteria metabolizes the pheromone and it becomes two more pheromones. And so you're getting there's three pheromones there. Those three pheromones are in our formula to attract women. And you're getting the benefit of all three pheromones.
But why is it that one that attracts women? Like, so it's the testosterone pheromone or the one that is affected by testosterone that suddenly if women do smell that pheromone, that increases their libido, their attraction. What is exactly going on that it makes attraction heightened?
Right. So, okay. So a woman detects these pheromones are kind of like they're in the air, right?
Right.
And she doesn't like smell a fragrance that's appealing to her. This all sort of happens subconsciously. So these pheromones they're in the air around you. And a woman subconsciously is just, you know, exposed to them. And it has this way of increasing her mood and libido.
Okay. And this is like for every woman or just the women who are responsive to this?
No, every woman. I mean, all women are sensitive to pheromones.
Okay. So it basically gives you a leg up and could potentially boost your confidence.
It makes me wonder how it works in like the gay community where a man's attracted to a man.
Right.
Is he also attracted to the male pheromones?
Men are attracted to the pheromones that attract men. Even though, like psychologically, a man may be predisposed to be attracted to same sex, the biological mechanisms to respond to pheromones are basically the same. They remain unchanged. So if a man wants to attract men, he wears the pheromones to attract men. And these are a different group of pheromones. These are sort of like derivatives of estrogen, actually. And so estrotetraenol is a pheromone found in our formula to attract men.
Okay.
But gay men would wear this to attract men.
Okay.
And
well, that's not our audience. So let's not continue talking about that. But that's really interesting. I'm so sorry we have to like cut everything short, but this is an interesting topic. But I want people to check out your product because I think there's a lot more information on your website, a lot more scientific evidence that backs up pheromones. I don't know whether I believe or I don't believe, but I know I have responded to people who have worn them before. So again, it could be a mixture of a million things. I have no idea. But if anybody wants to find out more about Drew and the pheromones that he is creating, please go to winggirlmethod.com/Drew, winggirlmethod.com/Drew. And I do have one question for overanalyze this because we're going to get kicked out by these puck guys in 2 minutes. But Drew, please stay on the line so you can take part in this question because it's actually targeted towards you. Hello, Kristen. Hello, Marnie. And whoever is the guest in the slot for this week, hello to you as well. Longtime listener to your show. In fact, I've heard every show since the first broadcast. In my humble opinion, the Ask Women podcast just continues to improve like fine wine. I've actually found
myself... just getting older and we're women.
I know.
And that's the way to say it.
Yeah. Thanks. I've actually found myself replaying certain exceptional podcasts and taking note. Wow. May I also add that I've hired Marnie years ago for coaching, and I still am persuaded there is no one better for her intelligence and a fair price. Oh, thank you. I'm a cheapo. I don't believe this topic has ever been broached on the show. If it has, maybe you could unpack your thoughts again. When a lady is, for example, at the grocery store or Starbucks or the library, etc., and her perfume is definitely filling the air around her, is it more than likely an indicator that approaching her is permitted? Is she signaling? Is perfume saying, mm-hmm. approach me? Or, in the lady's mind, is perfume merely an enhancement to her beauty? I'm not inclined to think a woman is necessarily desperate just because her Chanel No. 5 is strong. Very often, they are quite attractive women, and they do flash warm smiles my way. So I put it to you, ladies. What's the story on perfume? And Emily popped up with a no, and I'm going to pop up with a no, too.
I just spray it before I leave the house. It's like what I do. I grab my keys, I grab a lipstick, a space of perfume. Well, I'm not saying, hey, come talk to me that way. But although, you know, I'd like to be approached, but that's not my sign.
For me personally, I think perfumes and colognes, depending on what the smell is, it smells like desperation by trying too hard. Like that's
when
what
you do too much.
Yeah. Like that's the brand of every single cologne to me.
But if they do too much, you're saying. So you don't like wearing perfume.
No.
And you don't want to be approached. Maybe there is a correlation.
Yes. That could be true.
No, I agree with Emily. There is no correlation to... I don't even know really how to state this. Just because a woman puts perfume on does not mean she wants to be approached. But if that's what you need to believe to make the approach, right. then please exactly. approach everybody with perfume. Totally. Follow them around. So I used to follow people around the stores who wore the perfume angel because I loved the smell of it. It got me. It was underneath. And now I hate it. I can't
stand it
anymore.
So they changed the name of the cologne to Stalker?
Yeah. but I... You know, when people do perfume on, I think because it makes them feel good. They're not cautious or insecure about their smell.
Do you find people who are buying your pheromones are doing it out of desperation because it's like their last ditch effort? Or do you think it's just something good to do?
No, I mean, it's I don't know if it's out of desperation or not. People buy it when they're married. They want to spice up their love life. Mm-hmm. People buy them when they're single because they want to meet and attract somebody new. And right. so, you know, they could be, they don't have to be desperate. They just, you know, maybe they want an edge or they want to up their game or, you know, do better than they
But it's sparking a different sense as well. Like, I think you've talked about it on our show before, Emily, like you want to target the senses. Like, target smell, sense of smell, for
right.
sure.
Why not? I mean, I have nothing. I mean, I don't think it's, it's the people that you can smell from 10 feet away that just don't have a good sense of their scent, and then it makes you uncomfortable.
So how do people avoid that? That's a good question.
They need
They need
someone to tell
them. I can't stand it when people wear... I can't even stand when we leave this podcasting studio because they used to have this horrible, infuser scent thing. And I smelled like an old man when I left here. And I was like, who did I hug? It was gross. Well, I can't stand it.
Of course, I have to reference Jerry Seinfeld because he had a joke in one of his old stand-up specials about a woman wearing perfume on her wrist. Like, why do you spray it on your wrist? Like, why do you put it in that spot? And is it, you know, his punchline was something like, when she slaps you, do you just get like, ooh, like you get distracted because you're like, oh, that smelled so good.
Yeah. But that's one of the areas on your body like that, that's an erogenous zone and that is supposed to really absorb the perfume and emit the scent and it stays longer. Isn't that right, Drew? Something like that?
I think so.
Are you talking about applications on the wrist?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you know, we always tell people to put pheromones on the exposed areas of skin, like the back of the neck or the forearms and wrist.
Yeah, that's where people usually put the perfume.
That's the part of the skin that is out in the air.
Interesting.
Well my butt is going to be covered in pheromones because that's what I put up in the air.
You do. Mm-hmm. And people can watch the video to see that that's so not true. Okay, but sorry to cut this short for overanalyze this. I was hoping we would have more time for questions, but we do not. Again, Kristen, tell people where you are going to be on Sunday so that they make sure to listen to you.
Well, I'll be on the show on Monday.
On Monday.
You can check out, it's just the Adam Carolla show and tweet him at Adam Carolla. And it's Drolla, and let him know that you really like me on the show.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you, Drew, for being on the show. If you want to check out Drew's pheromones, go to winggirlmethod.com/Drew and the lovely Dr. Emily Morse.
So
they have a million places to find you.
Yes.
But you're doing a masturbation workshop.
Yeah, masturbation workshop, May 15th, Hustler Hollywood. My last workshop was amazing. I mean, I'm just telling you, because so many people came. It's fun. We've got drinks. We've got toys, giveaways. That's May 15th. And then also—
STD giveaways?
STDs. There is an STD test if you want. We actually have
a box.
You need to come.
That's amazing.
Also, Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, it's All Sex with Emily. Follow me. I answer your questions. I love that. And then May 12th with Lynette Carolla, CA whatever, May 12th in Hollywood.
I love it. And if you have questions for us to answer on air that we will hopefully get to one day, write them into ask@askwomenpodcast.com. These questions entertain us and they keep our brains fresh. So thank you for asking your questions, and please continue to do so. I just lost my train of thought, but new episodes of our podcast are available every Thursday. You can download them from iTunes, or you can subscribe so you don't have to download it all and they just go into your phone or device automatically. But you guys are amazing. Thank you so much for continuing to listen. And we hope that everybody will get a copy of this behind the scenes video we are creating about the Ask Women podcast, where you will get to see all the ins and outs of what really goes on. And you'll see what was edited out of this show that you did not get to hear. Episode, but thanks.